Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Jimmy Floyd in for Brian Lehrer, and anyone who lives by or travels through Central Brooklyn knows that the new Nets Arena at Atlantic Yards is going up at a pretty fast clip. There are enough steel beams in place to see it taking shape. It's the new Barclays Center, and after years of political fights, lawsuits, and community resistance, the arena broke ground last year, and it's on schedule to be completed by next summer. But the rest of the embattled $4.9 billion, that's billion with a B, dollar mega project, which includes the housing and office towers, hangs in the balance. More lawsuits, the economic downturn, and more recently, what one Prospect Heights resident called a rat tsunami are all part of the most recent problems for the forever controversial Atlantic Yards project. Joining us now to talk about the latest there and what the future holds is Elliot Brown, the commercial real estate reporter for The Wall Street Journal. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi, how are you?
Well, the first phase, I'm fine. I'm just amazed that we're still talking about Atlantic Yards and the rat tsunami, but we'll get to that in a minute. The first phase of the project is the Barclays Center. Are there any surprises with the way this first phase is going? Anything standing in the way of the first phase being completed by next September, which is what is planned?
At this point, it looks like it's on schedule. They've set a date. I think it's September 28th. I might be off by a few days. And it's, that's pretty much it. I mean, things do happen with construction. They had a little strike with some concrete workers that didn't seem to slow anything down recently. But
it's so close to the street. Hardly any setback of the building. And pretty imposing, at least some people feel that way. It's going to change the whole area pretty dramatically, isn't that right?
Yeah, I mean, they closed a street to a number of streets for the whole project to kind of make the thing fit. And, yeah, it goes right up flush along Atlantic Avenue and Flatbush there. So, that's as you said, just the first bit. Then you've got a bunch of housing towers that are supposed to jump up around on that block in addition to, some others and other blocks nearby.
And you mentioned the strike. I mentioned the rats. So in the construction phase, there's dust, there's noise. Any major surprises in construction thus far?
No, not that I know of. I mean, it really is going fast. The rats, they've caused a stir within the neighborhood, and now they're handing out free heavy-duty trash cans to nearby residents.
Heavy-duty trash cans? What's that? What's a heavy-duty trash can?
I'm not sure. It's a rat-proof can. All things considered, that's not for something that caused such a stir for, 7 years before they started construction. That's not the biggest problem in the world, right?
No. There seem to be bigger ones, so let's talk about phase two. The project was originally not pitched just as the Nets Arena. There's supposed to be some 16 residential and office towers. So what's up with phase two of the project? Are we going to see some groundbreaking ceremonies with regard to that?
Yeah, that's a decent question. Forest City, yes, as you said, the developer initially pledged to build at least first starting, 4 towers along with the arena, and then eventually do 16 total, along with a number of other pledges they made. And now we're looking at their vowing to start construction by the end of the year on the first residential tower, which, has a decently large affordable component. Whether or not they can do that is up to, I think, the market and how much money they want to put in, and whatever that number is more than they initially wanted.
But they are supposed to break ground on the 34-story tower by the end of this year, right?
Well, that's what they've said, yes. But, it's not easy to finance new construction in real estate, particularly when you have, kind of these affordable needs, which are expensive. And they've previously, repeatedly, asked the city city for more subsidy. Mm-hmm. The city said no. They keep saying publicly they're going to start, so I would imagine that they're intending to put more money in, but they haven't really, cast more light on that.
There's that article in today's New York Times that suggests that Chinese investors are looking to invest.
That's in the arena, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's in the arena. Because the project took a hit in the economic downturn. That's not surprising. Can you say a little more about the Chinese investment?
Yeah, well, so part of it is, and it's not all Chinese, but I think it's most Chinese, it is they've found this government program where you find immigrants who are willing to put up $500,000 of an investment that they, if you get 500 of them, then you get $250 million. In exchange, the investors, who are predominantly Chinese, then get a green card to the U.S. And if the project creates a sufficient number of jobs based on their formula, then the investor gets permanent residency.
Fascinating. So we'll keep an eye on that.
That's as far as they've said, that's finished. Mostly finished. They've raised the money or had commitments for the full money.
Now, an issue that is not finished, has never been finished, has been an issue from the beginning, is the environmental issue. Environmental review, which has happened once, but now apparently a judge has ordered a new environmental review last month. Can you explain that ruling and whether it means anything for the second phase?
Yeah, sure. So the ruling, I think more than anything else, is a kind of slap on the wrist of the state for saying, why did you rush this project through again when you reapproved it, and you should have done it differently, which is what the opponents were saying at the time. My view, just based on the way these things usually work, is mm-hmm. It's not likely to have an effect other than that they're going to have to go through another round of environmental review, which is lengthy, expensive, and then you have to go through some public hearings, which brings it into the news again. But, three straight governors have supported this project.
But could it slow phase two down?
Oh, phase two. So the phase two that this would affect is kind of there's the second half of the arena, which is the other towers, and then there's the 12 other towers, on separate blocks. It's the 12 other towers on the separate blocks that this would slow. And that's not going to happen anytime soon. I mean, if they're struggling this hard to get the first tower off the ground, they aren't going to get three more anytime soon. So they have plenty of time to redo the environmental review.
I'm Jamie Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer, and my guest is Elliot Brown. He is the commercial real estate reporter for the Wall Street Journal. And on our comments page, Elliot, some of our listeners are asking for clarification as to the number of towers in Phase 1 and what will happen in Phase 2.
All right. So the official Phase 1, I believe, is four towers. I might be wrong. There could be a fifth. Surrounding the arena.
Yes.
Phase two is another 12, give or take one, on blocks to the east. Phase one initially was all supposed to happen at once. Now it's, just the arena and maybe one building before the end of the year and maybe some a few years after that.
And obviously, as we've said throughout, there's been a lot of community opposition. Brian has covered this issue many times on this program. And there continues to be community opposition. Develop, don't destroy has been fighting the project from the beginning. And there were various eminent domain lawsuits that Ratner won in the end, the developer. But the opposition is still out there asking, what about affordable housing? What about local jobs? So tell us about those issues. How are those resolving?
So particularly the affordable housing was one of these main carrots that they offered to the opposition, to the community, to affordable housing advocates, to the politicians, to build support for the project. And basically any time that they were going to public hearings and in every possible moment, they would mention how much affordable housing there is. I think it's around a third. It's about half of the rental units there that are planned. So that is expensive.
expensive to do, they're finding. And now, again, they're only moving to build one building now, which is far less than they kind of initially pledged. So they've got a political problem.
Oh,
and
yeah.
if they don't go ahead with more affordable housing or any affordable housing soon, they're going to have a lot of elected officials, a lot of community groups yelling and wondering, you know, where is this?
So the politicians who supported the project originally, based partly about tax revenue and tons of local jobs, but mm-hmm. but if those, by my count, it was 30% of the units are not there, mm-hmm. Might we see the politicians pull their support? And I guess if the jobs aren't there, the unions pull their support.
The unions in particular, you know, I mean, that's certainly a question. Though then again, if the unions pull their support, then the developer could probably say, well, maybe we want to build union. That's a kind of semi-separate negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're already seeing some of it with the elected officials saying, where are these things? You initially promised these housing units a lot earlier.
And what kind of economic boost do you think the arena will ultimately have? Let's look
arena.
Down the road. What if no one goes to the games?
Yeah, that would be a problem.
You know, Jay-Z and the Russian oligarch, they need to pull people into these games. Are they ultimately starting to worry about ticket sales after all of this?
It's hard to say, to be honest. I mean, I think I forget the pace at which they're doing sales of or leases of the high-end luxury boxes, but I think it's going, you know, not all that slowly. So up until the past few weeks, they hadn't seemed terribly worried about that. Ticket sales, I don't know. I mean, I think the expectation was a few years ago when they were looking at moving the Nets here that unlike a lot of arena deals in the cities, when you steal a team or poach a team from another city, then you kind of it's easier to get a net gain. It's more when you build a new arena for an existing team that you really suffer. And Brooklyn's a pretty big market.
That's a very interesting point. Lucy on our comments page is asking, if Mr. Ratner doesn't have the money to build, why was he given the project without any oversight?
I mean, there is oversight. It's a valid question to ask in retrospect. I mean, this is common with public development and public-private development, where developers overpromise. And you know, another question is why was were the elected the state officials looking, you know, at the finances? How risky did they think it was? If I remember, it was viewed as a pretty risky project based on the numbers they submitted to the state, meaning that, you know, if much changed, then it would be hard to make money. And the economy changed a lot, and now it's a lot harder. They cut back on a lot of amenities. I mean, there was supposed to be a green roof on top of the arena. And everything was supposed to be designed by Frank Gehry, and all that's been scaled back.
Yeah. And the only construction project in the city that's bigger than this one is the World Trade Center, which is also going up pretty fast. Do you have an update on how things are moving along there?
Yeah, things are going, you know, I think physically it's moving to the point where a lot of New Yorkers can really kind of see and understand it. I mean, if you're in Brooklyn, if you're in, you know, the parts of Manhattan, you can see One World Trade Center, formerly the Freedom Tower, rising. I think it's, I don't want to get this wrong, over 75 stories now, eventually going to be 104. So it's the tallest thing downtown. It really stands out. There's a few hiccups there, too. Larry Silverstein, the private developer, is having some problems financing his one tower that's already up. And that's a problem with the Port Authority and kind of some bond investor issues. But they've got a few more months to figure that out.
You know, Lucy might ask the same question she asked about Atlantic Yards. Well, that's a great answer as we come up on the anniversary of 9/11 and look to the development at the World Trade Center. And I thank you very much, Elliot, for being with us today.
Okay, thanks so much.
My guest has been Elliot Brown. He's the commercial real estate reporter for the Wall Street Journal. He joined us to talk about the Atlantic Yards project. And my name is Jamie Floyd. I'm in for Brian Lehrer. Up next, everyone's talking about the help. We will, too, after the break.